Toddsville Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nybert. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Man O' War Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nybert.
I've entitled the message for this morning, The Way. In Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way. My marginal reading says, the way. Whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 22, verse 4, he said, I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women. What way is he speaking of? Now, if we know anything about the Scriptures, we know that he's speaking of the way to God, Christ. He said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way. He didn't say, I'll show you the way. He didn't say, I'll guide you along the way. He said, I am the way. Now, a way is the way to get from point A to point B. It's the distance between point A and point B. Christ is the way to the Father. He's the only way. He is the way that excludes all other ways. And he is always the way to the Father. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, he is always the only way, and we dare not come any other way. Now, let's say in your experience, you've had what you'd call a good day. You've read the Scriptures and they came alive to you. It seemed like the Lord gave you some light as to the true meaning. You were enabled to pray from your heart with some fervency, and it seems like you didn't have the same problems that you usually do with your sin. You just had a good day. Dare you come that way because of the day you've had? You better not. At all times, Christ is the only way to the Father. Let's say this is a day that has been one of those days where your sin and your sins dogged you. You conceived a sin in your mind that you were going to commit that day, and you fondled it in your heart. And in a premeditated way, you committed that sin. How horrible. But do you say, well, I can't come to God now? You're wrong. Even then, Christ is the way. And if you say, I can't come now, the implication is if I wouldn't have committed that sin, I could come. You see, at all times, however we feel, Christ is the way that excludes all other ways, the only way and always only the way to the Father. Now, he is eternally the way. There's never been a time in this time or in eternity past, nor will there be any other way in eternity future, but him being the way. Listen to this scripture from Proverbs chapter 8, verses 22 and 23. This is the Lord Jesus speaking, and he says, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. Before there was a creation, he was the way to the Father. Before time began, he was the way as the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Oh, the significance of that. Before there was ever a sinner, there was a Savior. And he was the way to God even then as the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And when time shall be no more, and I'm made to stand in the very presence of God, perfect, accepted, perfectly conformed to the image of Christ, it won't change this. He is the only way to the Father. There's no coming to the Father but by Him. 2 Peter 2:2 says, He is the way of truth. He is the way of truth. Anything contrary to Him being the only way all the time that excludes all other ways is a lie. Anything contrary to I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh to the Father but by me, anything contrary to that is a falsehood forged by the devil himself, a counterfeit, a garment that is not the wedding garment. And anyone who tries to come some other way will be completely excluded and cast into outer darkness where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the way of truth. Any other way is a false way that won't get you to the Father. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 8, we read that He is the way into the holiest. Now, what does the writer mean, the way into the holiness? Under the Old Testament economy, there was a tabernacle. Perhaps you've heard of it, the tabernacle in the wilderness. It had two rooms, a holy place, and the Holy of Holies. Now, the priest went into the holy place every day, keeping the candles lit and so on, and he had different functions. But there was a place called the Holy of Holies that was separated from the holy place by a thick veil. And no one was allowed into the holiest except the high priest once a year. On the great day of atonement, he'd bring the blood and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat one time a year. If he came any other day, he would be put to death. And if anybody else came, they would be put to death. Now, when Christ Jesus died, the first thing that took place was the veil in the temple was rent. It was torn from the top to the bottom, beginning at the top, showing this is God's work. And now every believer has full access into the very holiest. He is the way into the holiness. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 says, Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest, by the blood of Jesus. You see, here's what His blood accomplished. It took away, His blood actually took away the sins of everybody He died for. The sin even that I'm conscious of now is not. It's been put away. It's been washed away. It's been made to be no more. Now, this is what the Bible calls justification, being justified by His blood. His blood accomplished the justification of everybody He died for. And what justification means is, I stand before God without sin. Now, the only thing that would make me afraid to come into God's presence is sin. But the sin has been put away by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we have boldness. Every believer has boldness to enter into the very holiest by the blood of Jesus. The songwriter said, Bold shall I stand in that great day, for who ought to my charge shall lay? Fully absolved from these I am, from sin's tremendous curse and shame. Every believer has boldness to approach the very holiest, the very presence of God, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the way into the holiest. And then in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20, he's called the new and living way. Now, the word new means not just newness in time, but the word, this is the only time the word is used in the New Testament, it means freshly slaughtered. Freshly slaughtered. Always new, always fresh, always poignant to the Father. Now, has anybody ever continued to do you wrong and said, I'm sorry, and they do you wrong again, and they say, I'm sorry again, and they do you wrong again, and they say, I'm sorry again, and you think, this is getting old. This is getting old. Do you know it's never that way with the Father? The blood of Christ is always fresh and powerful and new, and it always makes the believer perfect before His sight. Nothing old. It's the new and living way. It's the living way because He is the life of it. He died and now He lives. I've heard people say Jesus Christ is alive and well. You know, that's blasphemous. He's not alive and well. He is life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's my life before God. His life is what comes into the very presence of God. He is the new and He is the living way. He died, but now He lives to make intercession for all of His people as their great high priest. Now, this is also what Peter calls in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15, the right way. The right way. Any other way is a wrong way. What happens if you're driving the wrong way on a one-way street? Well, you're going to have a head-on collision. And any other way but the right way is a wrong way, and it's going to end up in a head-on collision with God's justice and wrath. That's a scary thought, but it is true. The wise man said in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. The end thereof are the ways of death. You know, it just makes sense to us that if we're good, God will save us. If we're bad, God will stay away from us. You know, all that is karma. If I have good karma, good things will happen to me. If I'm bad, bad things will happen to me. That's what most people's religion is good karma and bad karma. But it's just not so. That's not the right way. Christ is the right way. He's called in 2 Peter 2:21 the way of righteousness. The way of righteousness. Now, what is meant by that, the way of righteousness? Well, Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6 says, our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Now, any supposed righteousness that I think comes from me, my praying, my witnessing, my Bible reading, my efforts at holiness and my efforts to not sin, any righteousness that comes from me is nothing more than filthy rags in God's sight. How does that strike you? Do you know it's true? Well, if you don't know it's true, you've never seen who the Lord is. Because if you've ever seen who the Lord is, you're going to understand that your righteousnesses are not righteous at all. All they are glorified sins. I mean, your giving, your motives, everything about us, it's nothing more than filthy rags in God's sight. Now, when Peter calls Christ the way of righteousness, there's a reason. His righteousness is the only righteousness there is. Let me repeat that. His righteousness is the only righteousness there is. He kept God's law perfectly. He's the only one to do that. He worked out a perfect righteousness before God. His righteousness is the only righteousness. You can't be saved by your righteousness because you don't have one. The only way we can be saved is if the righteousness of Christ becomes our personal righteousness before God. Now, how can that be? Well, the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he," speaking of God, "for he hath made him," the Lord Jesus Christ, "to be sin." Now, how did God do that? I don't know, but God is God and he can do that. He took the sins of all of the elect and he made Christ to actually become guilty of those sins. Now, Christ never sinned himself. He knew no sin, but the sins of God's elect became his sins so that he owned the guilt of them. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, every believer has the very righteousness of God, and that's how Christ is the way of righteousness. Now, let me read you a scripture that I think illustrates this very powerfully. Have you heard of Lot? Lot is first mentioned in Genesis chapter 13. He was Abraham's nephew. And if you read about his life in the scriptures, he's not a very honorable character. He's the one who chose the well-watered plain. He pitched his tent toward Sodom. He ended up living in Sodom. And when God said he was going to come and destroy Sodom and told Lot to leave, the scripture says Lot lingered. There was something about Sodom that he found appealing, and the angel came and yanked him out of Sodom and saved him. And you know what happened after that when he went in and committed incest with his daughters. They got him drunk and he had two different babies from his two daughters. I mean, he's no honorable character that you'd think of when you read of him in the Old Testament. But listen to these words from 2 Peter chapter 2. It talks about where God turns the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that afterward should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot. Justified Lot. Vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man, that's God's description of him, that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Now that's God's testimony of him. Righteous Lot, just Lot, that righteous man vexed his righteous soul. Now, let me repeat, there's only one righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that righteousness is imputed to the believer and becomes his, and it's imparted to the believer in the new birth. Now somebody says, can you explain that to me? Well, here's the closest I can come. When Adam sinned, I sinned. I sinned in him. His sin is charged to me. I sinned. And when I was born, Adam's sinful nature was imparted to me. His sin was imputed to me. I committed it. And his sinful nature was imparted to me when I was born. I was born with an evil nature. In the same manner, Christ's righteousness is imputed to every believer. And when they're born of the Spirit, born again, they're born with a righteous nature. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Now, Isaiah calls this in Isaiah chapter 35, verse 8, the way of holiness. Now listen to this scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of him are you in Christ Jesus. Now, the only way you can get in Christ Jesus is for God to put you there. Somebody says, how can I get in Christ? Well, God's got to put you there. Of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification. Holiness is what that word is. Holiness and redemption. Now anything, listen real carefully, anything other than him as my holiness is unholy and unclean. He is my holiness before God. I'm presented by him to the Father, holy and unblameable and unreprovable. He is my holiness. Being born of his Spirit, it's his holiness. He is my holiness. That's why we don't have things. You know, the only time the word holier is used in the scripture is when the Lord says, those who are say, I'm stand back, I'm holier than thou, these are a smoke in my nostrils. They're not degrees of holiness. There's not this level of holiness, and then you get up to this level, and you get up to this level. No, he is my holiness before God. We read in Romans chapter 3:17 that he is the way of peace. He is the way of peace. He is my peace with God. The reason God is at peace with me is because of him. Because of who he is and what he did in my behalf, putting away my sins and giving me his righteousness, God is completely satisfied with me. He's at peace with me. There's nothing for him to be angry about or offended about because Christ Jesus himself is my peace. And the peace that I feel, and I do feel peace from this, is because I know that Christ is my peace with God. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. He's the way of peace. He's the only way of peace. And he is called in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, the narrow way. You remember the scripture, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. But straight is the gate. I mean, many there be that go in that. I'm sorry, I quoted that wrong. Many there be that go in there, but straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Now, let me tell you how narrow this way is. If you have anything other than Christ, you can't get through. If you add anything to him, you can't get through. If you have any other hope other than him alone, you can't get through. If you find peace and assurance from anything in you, you can't get through. He's the narrow way. He's so narrow, the gate is so straight that the only way you can get through is if all you have is Christ. And he's called in Acts 24:14, these are the words of Paul. He says, this I confess unto you that after the way that they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers. Now, when religious people hear things like Christ being the only way that excludes all other ways, and if you look to anything other than him only at all times, why, don't you care about good works? Don't you care about your personal life? Don't you care about personal holiness? That's the way they respond to this. This seems to take away all motivation to live a holy life. If he's all we have, that's because they don't really see him as all they have. Because if you see him as all you have, oh, he's everything to you. But a religious person can't really understand this. And he says, well, this is heresy. I just can't believe this. Well, after the way which they call heresy, the way of grace alone, the way of Christ alone, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. Now, I want to begin or conclude this message by reading from Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 46. This is my way. This is my way. He's the narrow way. He's the way of righteousness. He's the way of peace. He's the way of truth. This is my way. We read beginning in verse 46 of Mark chapter 10. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he heard a commotion. He said, "What is this all about?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth passes by." He began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Now, I don't have any doubt that during his lifetime, he would have people read the scriptures to him. And you know, in the book of Isaiah, four times it says the Messiah will give sight to the blind. I'm sure there are some people who thought, well, if I'm ever blind, that's good to know. But I tell you, it meant something else to Bartimaeus. He was blind. And when he heard that the Messiah would give sight to the blind, it meant something to him because he was blind. Now, one day he heard about Jesus of Nazareth giving sight to the blind. And at that time, he knew this is the Son of David. This is the Messiah. He knew this. He said, if he ever passes by, I'm going to cry out for mercy. One day, as he was sitting by the highway side begging, a crowd comes by. He says, what's this commotion about? Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And immediately he began to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. If your sins are your fault, you know what you need? Mercy. That's what Bartimaeus needed. And Jesus stood still. Do you know he always stands still for the cry of mercy? Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good cheer, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, that filthy garment that he found security in, he no longer wants it. If you come to Christ, you're going to cast away the garment of your own righteousness. You're going to get rid of it. He rose and came to Jesus, and Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. You've been set free. Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. That was his way. That's the way he wanted, to follow Jesus in the way. Christ is the way to the Father. Now, we have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church, write or email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Nybert praying that God will be pleased to make himself known to you. Amen.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.nybert@gmail.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.